Dear listeners, this is Ivona Remondová from True Story Podcast again. I'm greeting you from Jihlava Documentary Film Festival 2022. And today I'm talking to Piotr Rosolovsky, who is an author, director of The Hamlet Syndrome, his new film he made together with Elvira Niviera. And we are meeting here today to have a chat, talk about how this film began, how was made, and how is it screened these days. So Piotr, take us into the very beginning of your thoughts, your and Elvira's thoughts about your film. How did this all start?
Thanks a lot for this introduction. Actually, the story of the, how everything began, it was quite typical for, let's say, documentary film project, because I was by chance in 2015 in Kyiv and in Odessa and a few other places in Ukraine, also in the East, and but it was for a different purpose, not for filming, and I remember that I had the feeling at that time that I met so many people who wanted to share with me their own stories. Like they have this this feeling that that they would like to, they wanted to talk about the politics, their own situation, the changes, because it was 1 year after the revolution Maidan and already almost half a year after the annexation of Crimea and the war in Donbas was going on. So it was many huge changes and lots of emotions. And after this trip, we decided with Elvira that we would like to come back to Ukraine with the purpose of making a film about young Ukrainian generation. Maybe even so-called, we called it the Maidan generation, which was, but at the end, we wanted to make a film about these people, and with our documentary experience, we knew that that speaking about or trying to make a film about something what happened already a couple of years ago is very difficult because we didn't want to make another, let's say, TV style film where you could make some interviews plus archive footage, or this is not the style what how we are working and how I mean, and also this is not the way of film which we love to watch, you know, which we like to watch. And we had at that time we were looking for some kind of key, you know, how to start it, and we had this idea, and why not to make a kind of quest or search for a modern Ukrainian Hamlet, like with this, let's try to make maybe the film from that side. And we actually initiate theatrical production. Elvira, she studied theater many years ago in Poland, and through her contacts we got into the modern Ukrainian theater scene. And we get to know Rosa Sarkisian, which was doing this post-documentary theater in Ukraine. And actually we start with Rosa, kind of unique cooperation of preparing a documentary theater play. And parallel to that, we are also developing our film. But the idea was to start these two things parallelly, to have control on these two projects, and to start them also in the same time. And this is how everything starts. So the main actually challenge was, I mean, in the search of this modern Ukrainian Hamlets or Hamlets of today in Ukraine, was to find the protagonist. And I remember that this cost us more than, I think, 1.5 years to find people who, on one hand, who had some kind of experiences, unique, and they were also representing different, let's say, maybe not political views, but different also wave of thinking about the country. And but on the other hand, we were also searching for people who are ready to take part in a theatrical production, which is, of course, not so easy. And this is how it starts, with this quest of searching of modern Ukrainian Hamlets.
Is the theater an improvisation is those actors, those people you found, did they come with a really like task? Were they given a task, like come from a zero? We are searching for all your deepest memories, thoughts, fantasies. Or was there any leadership, like what do you want to say by this play, by this film?
I remember that that when we were searching for our protagonist, we in the beginning we ever haven't mentioned about this theater production, The Hamlet. But later, we just introduced all of them to this introduce them to this Hamlet figure, which is quite universal, and some people says that every generation can have their own Hamlets, like these young people who are suddenly found themselves in the middle of kind of political struggle, and also it was connected with this moment of growing up, actually. I mean, emotionally we didn't want it to brief or to, you know, to kind of prepare them a lot. Of course, they all have different backgrounds, and some of them, like for example Roman, who I just shortly explained, who on one hand he was paramedic on the front, but on the other hand he was also playing in the theater in Lviv, so he had some theatrical knowledge. And Oksana, she's actually an actress, so they had this background, and they, I think Oksana, she wanted to prepare herself a bit more, but the other protagonists, they just came on the very first day of this rehearsal with this feeling that that they are taking part in some kind of interesting project, and that's it. I don't know if that's the answer to your question, in fact, but because I'm trying to, you know, to recollect these memories from the moment as we started, because I think the biggest challenge was for us really to find the right people who will take part in the project and open up, and also will be ready to, you know, to share with the sometimes deepest traumas. Yeah.
Without saying too much, because I would really love to ask all our listeners to watch your film, without saying too much, can you say something about some of your protagonists? Because this is, I think, one of the most interesting thing about the film. Who are these people and what they are bringing into this play?
Yes. I mean, it was really fascinating to find them, because some of them, I mean, all of them, not some of them, all of them are actually unique. I start from Rodion, who was from Donetsk, from the east of Ukraine, and he grew up in this, let's say, very much dominated Russian post-Soviet culture. His mother was an architect, but Rodion is gay. After the Maidan Revolution, when Donetsk was taken over by the Russian forces, and they created there this quasi People's Republic of Donetsk, this kind of strange fake state, he escaped from Donetsk with his mother to Kiev, and with this idea that he is not going to pretend that he is a straight guy. He wanted to be himself. He wanted to. He doesn't want to hide his sexuality. And he start to live in Kiev as one of these LGBT activists fighting for their rights. And of course, it was big conflict with his madre. It was also big conflict with the society. Just speaking about the protagonist, the interesting thing is that during this process of rehearsal in Kiev, because I remember that Rodion was the last one whom we found, and when we told him about this project, because Rodion also works in theater, he's costume designer. He said, but I remember the moment when we met and we told him about the project, he said, but you know what? I was always seeing myself as a Hamlet figure. this was really fascinating. And Rodion, during the whole process, he met on the stage Slavik, another protagonist from Western Ukraine. Rodion was speaking Russian and learning Ukrainian. Slavik never really learned Russian. So, and they were really living in one country, but representing different, completely different values. Like Slavik was from little town in the western of Ukraine, very conservative, and he served in military, and he was also, religious, and he also had very, very difficult story from the war. He saw how his war comrades died in the Donetsk airport. He was fighting there, and he was in captivity, and then he was released. And the interesting thing is that during this process they became friends, even though they were representing, you know, two different completely ways of life. And Slavik even says in the film that this was the very first time in his life when he met an open gay, you know, someone from representing different sexuality. And he was just fascinated how Rodion is manifesting it, you know, how he's also honest of being himself. Yeah. And they became friends at the end of this process. But the bitter truth is that when Slavik baptized his child, he invited Rodion to this ceremony. And Rodion, when they left this theater stage, when they went to the Western Ukraine, to the village where Slavik comes from, you know, it was once again, you know, the whole context was kind of obstacle of for this friendship, you know. So Rodion was still alone somewhere in the corner because he was just different, you know, for all the people. So it was for me also something interesting that the theater stage could be also some kind of neutral ground for all of us, actually, you know. And I just briefly can just say something more about other protagonists. For example, about Katya. Katya was studying international affairs in Kiev before the Maidan Revolution, and she was even thinking about career in politics in Ukraine. And when the Maidan started, he just joined this revolution, and then from the Maidan, she went straight to the war, to Donbas war. She was fighting and came back to Kiev after many months in the front line and never finished the studies, and changed her life completely. As she said, that she, in fact, after all this, what happened, she never came back from this war. She was still in her mind there. And on the other hand, Katya on the theater stage met Oksana. They are both from Kharkiv. But Katya is more also like representing these national values, and she was ready to die for Ukraine. And Oksana is liberal, feminist, actress and activist. And they also start to play, to work together, and it was also an interesting process of to see these two girls, actually the same age, the same city, but representing completely different also ways of life. And the next protagonist, the last one, was Roman, who was actually actor and paramedic on the front line. And it was also kind of difficult combination, because on one hand he was a very sensitive man, and he decided also to go to war, but he said, I don't want to kill anyone, I want to be paramedic, I want to save lives. But in fact, it was, he didn't know that at that time, that it was a very difficult decision, because then you have to, as a medic on the front, you have to decide who you are going to rescue, because you can't rescue all of them. So it was for him really traumatic experience, and he couldn't release it because he said he always see all these guys whom he couldn't manage to rescue. So this was this group of people on the stage and in the film. What I also wanted to say, we were not only with them on the stage, but also in their private life, to see to see this real context, to show also how they speak with their parents about the situation or about stories which they count, which they still they have in their heads, and this mixture of this theater and real life, it's actually the backbone of the whole movie. Yeah.
Piotr Rosolowski is a director, screenwriter, and cinematographer based in Berlin. He graduated from the Katowice Film School in Poland in 2002 and was awarded with an Academy of Media Art Scholarship in Cologne, Germany. He is co-author of the feature-length documentary Rabbit à la Berlin, which was nominated for an Academy Award in 2010. Together with Berlin-based film director Elvira Nieviera, made the film Domino Effect, which was screened at many international documentary film festivals, won several awards, and was part of the 2014 East Silver Caravan distribution program. Their second feature-length documentary, Prince and the Book, received the Lion Award for the Best Documentary at Venice Film Festival in 2017, and their most recent film, Hamlet Syndrome, has been hailed as an exceptional piece of European documentary cinema that brings to life the tragic consequences and effects of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The film premiered in August 2022 at the Locarno Film Festival and continues to be screened at ITFA, DOC Leipzig, Krakow Film Festival, or DOC NYC. Yeah, I really didn't miss any character in your film. I mean, for me, it was a very perfect minimalistic picture of nowadays world, nowadays discussion between all of us. And one of the things I have found one of the bravest was that in the middle of the horrific war, which is going on now in Ukraine, sometimes I feel like we are not allowed to talk critically about patriotism, about the heroes of the war, etc. But you somehow did. And you did it very sensitively. So take me to the editing room and tell me if you had big discussions about it.
I mean, I think, of course, in the editing room, there are always discussions, always, I mean, as a filmmaker, you are very often, you feel yourself naked, because then you see on the monitor your material, your footage, and this is, and all your mistakes or ideas, but this is one thing. But another thing is that, just to answer your question, that from the very beginning with Elvira, we were aware that we don't want to make a film which would be kind of glorification of Ukrainian heroes of the war in Donbas. It was for us very clear, and that's why also we decided not to make a kind of homogenic group of war veterans. That's why we wanted also to have feminists and activist Oksana, an actress, and Rodion, who was also representing different values, and three different, let's say, war veterans. And we were hoping, actually, which was at the end, which was right, that there would be definitely lots of quarrels and discussion between among our protagonists during the process. So somehow I think that in the editing room, it was not so difficult to find this main line of the film, because I mean this let's say, this view of not only patriotic or not only, you know, like, as you say, like heroes narration was already not there from the very beginning due to the other protagonist. But this is what we did in editing room for sure. We just reduce this whole material because we had hours of material from the theater, and we just decided first to stick mainly to the very first 2 weeks of the rehearsals, because they were the most honest and the less theatrical, because the more theatrical the whole process was, it was the less interesting for us as the filmmakers. And we also cut away all these political discussions which were in the group, which were sometimes insiders, you know, about current Ukrainian politics, about different views, and we just reduced it to some few points which we thought they were the most relevant, like you mentioned about these patriotic values. There is this, without of course explaining the whole movie, there is this this scene when they have to perform on the scene with the Ukrainian flag, and how many emotions it creates, very different emotions because the group was different. Yeah, so they had, you know, we also didn't expect, you know, that the flag can have such an impact on them, you know.
And what about the audience in the theater when the play was shown, and what about the answer of the audience about this scene with the flag? What was it like?
No, it's also an interesting question, because at the end of our process, there was like two projects. It was this theatrical project and the film project. Of course, theatrical project was ready 1 year before, and it was also streamed online because it was a pandemic year. It was 2020. And it was huge discussion in Ukraine also about it, because there were also some criticism from, let's say, from the right wing in Ukraine at that time, if it's allowed actually in the state theater to put on one stage like war veterans and feminist and LGBT activists, if it's equal, which was a very interesting discussion actually. And of course there were like different ideas and different opinions about it, and but I have the feeling that right now, because everything, the whole process, theatrical and film, we finished before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine from February 2020, and I have the feeling that right now it's this theater play and the film is less controversial because Ukrainians are more united now in the terms of the big invasion. They are really fighting for the country, of the future of the country, which also, you know, we know the plans of Putin, you know, in his opinion, Ukraine is not relevant as an independent state. So it also changed a lot, the reception of the theater play and the film after the beginning of the war, beginning of the full-scale invasion in Ukraine.
So you made the film a long time before the full-scale invasion of Putin into Ukraine.
Yes.
And you were editing the film also before the... No.
We were actually finishing the edit when the whole atmosphere around Ukraine was changing, and we almost had a picture log just a few days before the invasion, and then it was really a difficult time for us, because on one hand we were in contact with our protagonists who were back, many of them at least, back in the at the front, but on the other hand we have the feeling that we have to change the cut, we have to change the, because it's because it's you know, it's telling the story of which is like everything changed a lot, you know, after the invasion. So we were thinking maybe we should come back to Ukraine or re-edit the material or do something. And we were like confused very much for more than 2 weeks what we should do. And then we just decided to make a card explaining what happened to our protagonist after the invasion, the full-scale invasion, and we made also the card in the beginning saying that that everything happened before, just to make clear for the viewers that these pictures, these images are shot before this day and or this day when everything has changed. Yeah.
I think it was a very good decision to leave it as it was. But did you imagine would you change? Did you imagine what you have to change after the invasion in the movie? Like, what would be the changes?
We had the feeling that we have to do something. and we even have kind of weird idea when I think about it right now of let's go there maybe. Let's try to visit our protagonist and try to find out what they are doing now. But very quickly we just discovered that it's... some of them, they were really in the military units without, it was impossible to find them out, to track them where they are. And it was this the whole, wave of refugees were entering the border. So it was actually kind of absurd idea to go at that time there and to try to film what actually, because it was anyway so far from this moment when we are doing the theater play and the film. And I think it was right decision because the film actually, it shows something, pictures and atmosphere from the time before. And it's also document of the time before. And I think what is the most tragic actually in this story is that the theater play and the whole process was for many of our protagonists kind of therapy. They were like really releasing these traumas from war or from being replaced and actually many of them really they really did good. For example, Slavik, he's professional soldier, but in fact he always wanted to be an actor. And after this theater play, he joined in Ukraine. There is a very popular TV program called The Voice of Ukraine, where you have to just sing a song and tell your own story. I think it's probably common in all of European countries. And he was selected to this program and he was in the studio, on this, broadcasted for in the whole Ukraine. But the most tragic thing is that he made up to the final round, but then the war started and everything stopped, the whole program stopped and Slavik is now in one of the military units. But what I wanted to say, the biggest tragic, I think, is that they went through this process of this digesting these traumas and really and kind of relieving, releasing these things. And then the war started again, I mean, on the big scale, and they are actually back in the same emotions and they are example, I think, for me, these five protagonists, what happened with hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians right now, how deep they will be traumatized through the whole, through these whole stories, through these whole events which are now going on every day, every day in Ukraine, and this is a very sad story, and maybe that's why, after the screening of the film, usually the cinema hall is silent, because I think everyone have to also imagine what is now the scale of and the price of the whole war in Ukraine for the Ukrainian society.
That's what I wanted to ask you, that it's, I imagine that it's pretty hard for a filmmaker to make a film with the end which is not comforting, which is not positive at all, but this is not in our hands, right? We cannot influence this, what's happening in Ukraine. So if I asked you, what is the biggest hope coming out of your film? Like, what and if there is a positive message you would like to spread by this film?
I think, the positive message is that when you look at these five young guys five young protagonists on the stage, and you really, me and many viewers also who has a chance to watch the film, they are really fascinated, you know, they are really great people. And I'm sure that when the whole war will finish, these people, I mean, or people similar to our protagonists, they will change this country. Because I think they are young people, but with experience which we can't imagine even. I mean, we people living in peace. But you can see also how strong and how motivated, how different they are, but they can cooperate. And I think this is the hope. I mean, this generation of people who are now, 25, 28, 30, who has the experience from Maidan, who comes from different parts of Ukraine. I'm sure that when the war will be over, this will be the people who will create and build new Ukraine.
Tell me what's the future of the film now, where people can see it?
That's a good question. I mean, the film, we started our festival release with the festival in Locarno, and the film was showing now on many different festivals. I already had a meeting with the festival executive from One Word Prague, and I hope that the film will be part of not only of One Word Prague, but will be also shown in other different cities in Czech Republic. And we had a small cinema distribution in Poland. There is a plan for distribution in Germany. So the film will be like circling in the festival circles, and I hope that it will reach its audience. Yeah.
This was Hamlet Syndrome with Piotr Rosolowski. Piotr, thank you very much. Good, big luck with your movie and with all your movies in the future. And thank you for this great opportunity to know more about what's going on in Ukraine and about the hope.
Thanks a lot.